I seek refuge in Allah. I seek refuge in Allah, the all-hearing, all-knowing, from Satan, from Satan.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. Salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has told us that indeed Allah Almighty has appointed an angel on his grave that knows the names of everybody in the world and the name of their fathers. So whenever one of you recites durood upon me, when one of you sends salam upon me, then that angel conveys to me your name and your father's name and says, so and so, the son of so and so has sent salam upon you. Subhanallah. This is the power of hearing of an angel which is appointed on the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we can only go to imagine the hearing power of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That him, whilst being in Madinatul Munawwara, can hear in the cries and the pleas of a true ummati. And when somebody needs the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he yearns out to him with a true and sincere heart, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam listens to it and also helps as well. So we should try to make a habit of reciting as much salawat as we can, so our name along with our parents' names is presented in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because if somebody's name is continuously mentioned in the company of somebody, then he remembers that name. And what more does a follower and ummati want than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to know you and recognize you? Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Welcome back to the program, The Deadly Sins, in which we talk about those sins which can take a person away from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which can take a person away from the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and take him closer towards the fire of hell. The topic today is probably the first sin to be committed. It is a major sin, it is a deadly sin, it ruins a person's life on this earth and the hereafter. And what is it? That is the sin of pride, which we will listen to today. Before we begin, there is a story we must listen to. Sayyidina Wahab bin Munabbih rahimahullah has stated that there was a king, and this king had a lot of unusual habits. The king once prepared a ride in order to travel somewhere, and he called for some clothes. He wore the clothes, he didn't like them, he sent them back and he got some more. He kept doing this until he found an outfit which was elegant and so beautiful that he loved it. Then he ordered for some rides to come. He sat on a few rides, he didn't like them, he changed them to the point that he liked a ride which was very beautiful, very smooth, very fast. And he mounted it, and him with his army started to go towards the people. Now during this time an individual came to him whose clothes were torn and ripped. He greeted the king with salam. He said, assalamu alaikum, but the king did not reply. Thus, that man, that old man with the ripped clothes, grabbed the reins of the horse of the king and pulled that king down towards him. And he said to him, I have a job for you. And the king said, have patience, let me dismount. The man replied, no. Now he pulled the reins with force. The king said, speak, what is it that you require? The old man said, I have a secret. It's a secret. Hence the king lowered his head and brought it closer to him. The old man looked towards him and spoke up and said, Ana Malakul Maut, that I am the angel of death. Hearing this, the king's color changed. His voice changed. He started to tremble. He started to get freaked out. And he said, give me some time to go home and complete my task. Bid farewell to my family. Let me sort my affairs out. Then you can come and take my soul. And Sayyidina Israel, the angel of death, replied, no, by Almighty Allah, you will never see your wealth. your possessions, all your family members again. And like that, the angel of death took the soul out of that king and left him in pieces, and he fell off his horse like a piece of wood falls down. Now look at this story, that this king who had so much pride in him that he was not content on one piece of clothing. He had so much pride in him that he needed to have the best ride so he could look down on people. He had so much pride in him that when he seen an old man standing in front of him, he showed him no respect. He had so much pride in him that when the old man conveyed his salam to him, the king could not even reply to the salam. And these are some of the destructions of pride. These are some of the things which come with pride. Along with this, there are so many other problems that when the king was facing death, due to his pride, he had forgotten about everything. Due to his pride, he was not ready for death. He thought that he could walk on this earth for as long as he wants. He can look down on people, he can hurt people, he can do whatever he wants, and there is nobody to hold him accountable. This pride in his heart led to his destruction. Before we listen more about pride, let us first listen to the definition of pride. Let us first listen to what pride is from the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It has been stated in Sahih al-Muslim that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Al-kibru batarul haqqi wa ghamtun nasi." That pride is to oppose the truth and look down upon people. This is something that you might have seen for yourself, that a person who is full of pride, a prideful person, he's not willing to accept the truth. Why? Because it hurts his ego. And anything which goes against his ego and his pride, he's just going to reject it. He is not going to hold any credibility to that person. And secondly, he looks down on people. When there is somebody there, he looks at him and he does not think anything worthy of that person. The mindset that the scholars and the Sufia have given us is that if you see somebody older than you, then have that mindset that he has had a longer life to commit more good deeds. He has had the chance to do more good deeds, so he's more pious than me. If you see somebody younger than you, then have that mindset that this person has not lived long enough to commit as many sins as I have committed. So like this, if somebody is older than you, or if somebody is younger than you, you will always humble yourself and there will be no pride in your heart. Imam Raghib Asfahani rahimahullah writes, "Pride is for a person to consider himself superior to others." Another narration, Allama Abdul Ghani Nablusi rahimahullah states, "Pride is to feel joy after considering yourself to be superior, greater and better than others." Here, the second one is to just consider yourself better than the other. But the third definition adds a point which is very delicate, that when you feel superior to somebody, it brings happiness to your heart. You feel good about it. You feel better about yourself. And that is very dangerous. Imam Ghazali has separated pride into three parts, three sections, three categories. And he says the first pride is that which is shown towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the pride of Shaitan, Nimrud, Fir'aun, or the pride of such individual who claims divinity and turns his face away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second type of pride is that which is shown towards the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, just as the disbelievers of Makkah did when they said that we shall not obey a human like you. Why did Allah Almighty not send an angel or a leader in a tribe to guide us? You are an orphan. And the third is that which you have towards a common person. For example, looking at them with disdain, not accepting the truth, considering yourself better than the others. And now these categories all have different rulings. The first two categories, meaning displaying pride towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or displaying pride towards the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both of these types of pride result in disbelief. Meaning if a person has pride towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he's out of the fold of Islam. However, a person who has pride towards another Muslim, then he is not a disbeliever. However, this act is a major sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, translation from Kanzul Iman, "And I shall turn those people away from my verses who undeservedly wish greatness for themselves on this earth." The commentators of the Quran write in relation to this verse that Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu stated, the meaning of this is that those people who show pride towards the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the close people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn them from the truth. Meaning, then Allah will turn them from accepting and confirming any signs, and they will not bring faith on me. The punishment for their animosity is that they are deprived of guidance. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْتَكْبِرِينَ, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not like the arrogant. He does not like that person who has arrogance, he has pride in his heart. In another place, when mentioning the story of Shaitan, what did Shaitan say? What did Shaitan do? Before we read the story, we need to know a little bit of background about him. It is very famously known that Shaitan was an angel, which is not true. Shaitan was not from an angel, but he was a jinn. He was created from fire. And it has been stated by Sayyidina Ka'b al-Ahbar radiallahu anhu that Shaitan had a very great and high status in between the angels and even in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he was the treasurer of heaven for 40,000 years and remained in the company of angels for 80,000 years. And he kept on delivering sermons and speeches to the angels for 20,000 years. Look at the status of Shaitan. That even though he was not from the same category of the angels, he was created from fire himself, whereas angels are created from light. He was the teacher of the angels. He used to guide them. He used to give sermons. He used to be in charge of them. Furthermore, it is said that he would perform tawaf. He would go around the earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 14,000 years. And he was known as with a different name on each one of the heavens. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when creating Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, commanded all the angels to do sajda, to prostrate to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And every single angel prostrated to Adam alayhi salam except one, the rejected Shaitan, the rejected Iblis. And the story goes in the Holy Quran, translation from Kanzul Iman. Allah said, "What prevented you that you did not prostrate when I commanded you?" Answered he, meaning Iblis, "I am better than him. You created me from fire and created him from clay." Said Allah, "So get down from here," meaning get out of paradise. "It does not befit you to stay here being arrogant. Get out. You are of the degraded ones." He, meaning Shaitan, said, "Give me respite till the day of when the people will be resurrected." Allah said, "You are given respite." He said, meaning the Shaitan said, "Hence I swear by the fact that you led me astray, I will certainly lurk in ambush for them," meaning the children of Adam, "as on your straight path. Then I will certainly come to them in front of them, and from the back, and from the right, and from the left, you will find amongst them ungrateful." He, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then said, "Get out from here, rejected, banished with disgrace. Definitely whoever amongst them follows your call, I will fill hell with all of you." This was the story of Shaitan. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to prostrate. He became arrogant. He became mutakabbir. He thought that he is better than them. He said, "Ya Allah, you created me from fire and you created him from clay and you want me to prostrate to him." So this arrogance, he could not bear it. This feeling of inferiority, this being humbled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shaitan went against the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what result came out of this? What was the outcome? That he became a kafir, he became a disbelief. He was rejected from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was thrown out of paradise. All of this was done to him. And even in the hereafter, there is an eternal punishment for him. He will burn in the fire of hell forever. And those who follow his whispers, those who listen to him, they will also be with him in the fire of hell. One very important lesson to be gained from this, along with not being arrogant, is that regardless of the level of our ibadat, regardless of the level of our worship, we should not consider ourselves anything. If we were to look at Shaitan, what do we see? All of that led to him being rejected because of a sin he committed, because of a bad deed, because of not obeying the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever we feel like the urge Whenever we have that evil whisper in our heart that we are somebody, we have something with us, that we are more learned than somebody, we are more superior to somebody, we are better than somebody, then remember, Shaitan, from where he was to where he is now, from being that much to being rejected from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being taken out of paradise, being promised eternal hellfire, and those who follow him will be with him in hellfire, this was all due to his arrogance, not being fearful of the hidden will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should always be fearful of the hidden will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not consider ourselves to be anything. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that, should I not inform you about the worst of Allah's slaves? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking to us and he's telling us that who from amongst you is the worst of people. And he carries on to say, those who are bad-mannered and those who are arrogant. If we look into our society today, what do we see a lot of? We see a lot of brothers growing up, our youth, but they do not have manners. They do not know how to speak to elders. They do not know how to speak to teachers. Forget everybody else. They do not know how to speak to their own mothers. What is this? This is what the Prophet ﷺ is saying about the worst of people, that they are those who are bad-mannered, and especially having bad manners towards your parents. When Muslims used to travel around the world and they could not speak the same language as other people, they could not convey the message of Islam to them, what is it that attracted so many people towards Islam? It is the well manners that the Muslims possessed, that when the non-Muslim would see that the Muslims are truthful in their trading, they are honest, they help one another, they do not lie, they do not cheat, they have good manners, this attracted them towards Islam and they accepted Islam. So we need to be representatives of Islam. When somebody asks us and we tell them our name, and our name is a Muslim name, and then we cheat him, then we go behind his back and speak ill of that person, then we deceive him in business. When somebody recognizes that we are Muslims, he should be confident in inviting us to his affairs. He should be confident in doing business with us. He should be confident in going into partnership with us. Why? Because a Muslim's honor is in his manners. A Muslim is known for having well manners. A Muslim is someone with dignity, not arrogance, but dignity. A Muslim is proud of who he is. And with our good conduct and with our good behavior, we can spread the light of Islam. We can spread the message of Islam to other people. But first, we need to learn about these good manners and we need to implement them. And we cannot implement them outside. We need to implement them in our homes first, in our houses, with our families, with our wives and kids and our parents. And once we have secured it with them, then we move on to doing it with others. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on Yawmul Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment, those who are arrogant, those who have takabbur in their heart, will be raised like ants in human form. Disgrace will cover them from every direction. They will be taken towards the prison of hellfire, where the fire will be cast over them, and they will be made to drink from tinatul khabal, meaning the pus and the blood of the people of hellfire. The people in hellfire, when they are punished and their pus and blood is leaking out, a person who is mutakabbir, a person who is arrogant, will be made to drink that. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the Day of Judgment, those who are arrogant will be raised in the form of ants, and people will trample upon them because they will have no significance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think now. Today you think you can trample on other people. Today you think you are better than other people. Today you think you can get your way on other people. Then on the Day of Judgment, when Allah, the most just, will bring everyone to accountability, and you will be in the shape of an ant, and people will trample over you, people will walk over you, crush you. That should be enough to scare you to not be arrogant in this life. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, no doubt there is a valley in hell called Habhab. Allah Almighty decreed that all those who are arrogant will reside within it. O Bilal, do not be from those who are made to reside within it, meaning within hellfire. There is a special valley, there is a special place, and it is for those people who are arrogant. Now think about hellfire, that it is so severe in its punishment as it is, but there is a special section for the people who are mutakabbir. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the accountability of the hereafter and protect us from being arrogant. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, listen to this very carefully. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one whose heart contains a mustard seed's amount of arrogance. A heart which contains even the size of a mustard seed's worth of arrogance, he will not enter paradise. A person's heart needs to be pure for him to get into paradise. But this hadith doesn't mean that if a Muslim dies, he will never enter paradise, meaning his heart will be cleansed before he will enter paradise. And that heart can be cleansed in this life if a person truly repents and asks Allah's forgiveness and asks to be protected from it. If not, then he will be punished or pardoned by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if he repents in this world and that even that speck of mustard seed's worth of arrogance is removed, then inshallah he will enter paradise. However, if he dies in that state, then it is up to Allah that Allah either punishes him to cleanse him or he pardons him and he will enter paradise. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to help the bondsman as long as he wants to be helped. So if we feel like we are arrogant, and how can somebody find out he is arrogant? So for example, you walk into a room and you want people to stand up for you. You want people to look at you and look at you with eyes of praise. You want people to praise you coming into the room. These are signs of arrogance. Or for example, when you are walking, you like to have 2-3 people around you when you are walking. And like this, you feel like a big man and you're walking and you see people fearing you. This is a sign of arrogance. Another sign of arrogance is that you wait for other person to give you salam. That you are walking, you will not be the first one to say salam. You will wait for the other person. Now this is such a minor thing, but look at the illness which is hidden behind it. That you are walking, you see a Muslim brother, you see a relative, or you see a family member, you will not be the first one to give salam. Why? Because you feel like you are bigger, you are superior, and you wish that salam to be given to you. Another sign of arrogance is that you like to be invited to places, you like to feel important, and you will force your way into places. And like this, there are so many other signs which have been mentioned in relation to arrogance, and we can only truly understand them is if we have knowledge of them. So the book of Imam Ghazali, Ihya Ulum al-Din, in which it covers all of these in great depth and detail, we should read those. Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Aisha, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is addressing his beloved wife and saying, O Aisha, adopt humbleness as Allah Almighty loves those who remain humble and dislikes those who are arrogant. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking to his beloved wife, the mother of the believers, Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha, that if you want to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love you, then adopt humbleness in your life. And if you adopt arrogance in your life, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will dislike you. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now there are various methods mentioned in relation to removing arrogance from one's heart. The first one is a person should think that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most powerful, the one who has control over everything, I will be in front of him and I will be asked about my arrogance. And if I am there in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of an ant, then what will be my result? The second is to do dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove this illness from your heart, to make you not arrogant, and whenever you do feel arrogant, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instills humbleness in your heart. Remember, never undermine the power of dua. Dua is something which can change a person's destiny. So we should always do dua, we should always seek forgiveness for our major and minor sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all of our major and minor sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep them hidden in this world and pardon us in the hereafter. Ameen bi jahin nabi al-ameen wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
I seek refuge in Allah. I seek refuge in Allah. The all-hearing, all-knowing from Satan.